How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
You got to watch the kid in love with you.
Hour two of the Tim Weisberg Show. That rain continues to pound into the pavement on a Monday morning. Drive carefully. I see you cars speeding down the neck. Slow down. 508-996-0500. Brian in for Tim today. 64 degrees across the board again. Acushnet, 64. Rehoboth, 64. New Bege, 64. And thanks to South Coast Towing, you're hearing me crystal clear in the WBSM app. Let's do our quote of the day, courtesy of Monthly Fee RX.
If you're spending less than $20 a month for prescription drugs, great. If not, then our Monthly Fee RX service might be a good option for you. Check for yourself at monthlyfeerx.com.
Not quite sure who authored this quote. I can only guess. But the quote is, just be yourself. You are beautiful. Now, who would say something like that? Just be yourself. You're beautiful. I don't know, but it's out there for you. Okay, so we wrapped up hour number one, and ABC News also brought it into the fore again about President Biden trying to make some changes to the U.S. Supreme Court. One deals with, how they accept gifts or what they can do to accept gifts. But the big one, to me anyway, is the idea of 18-year terms for Supreme Court justices. I'm not sure I'm in favor of it. In fact, right now, I would say no. But I think reasonable people can be on both sides of this particular argument. So I am curious as to your thoughts. Should we have term limits for Supreme Court justices? Massachusetts, we have a limit age 70. Now, I got to tell you, woman friend's brother. I sometimes say it's her uncle, but it's her brother. He served on a Massachusetts court for several years. When he turned 70, he had to retire. Here's the interesting thing about he turned 70 and had to retire, but the Commonwealth is so short on judges, they brought him back per diem. He just retired, officially retired, so he's not doing any more court activity. I'm guessing March or April. And that was almost a year after he had to step down at the age of 70. So Massachusetts has an age limit. At 70, you've got to retire as a judge. But the U.S. Supreme Court They don't do anything like that. I mean, you once you're on that court, and I think it's valid for all U.S. judges. I don't think that there's a term limit on a U.S. district judge or a U.S. Appellate court judge. Should there be a term limit? 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Brian?
Brian is.
I don't know if you got to watch the opening ceremony of the Olympics.
I did not.
No, well, it's on all over YouTube.
I'm sure
it's
it is.
All over them. It's a satanic, cultic ritual.
Why would I want to watch it then?
I watched the well, I didn't know that we're going to do that. They had the golden calf. When Moses went up to Zion and came back, the Israelites were worshiping the golden bull, Baal. They had Baphomet, a man with a headdress of Baphomet. And then they had a blaspheming of Jesus and the Last Supper with trans drag queens. They had a child. They're peddling pedophilia and a man who exposed himself with his male organ. And
At the ceremonies?
At the Last Supper. They had on the stage, yeah, and then they had Marie Antoinette singing with a beheaded with blood on the neck and singing on the hand of Marie Antoinette. All of this is an attack on the Catholic Church, and I'm a Roman Catholic. I was appalled. It's blasphemous. And the river that they had the ceremony during the French Revolution in 1789, that began 1789. Many Catholic clergy and nuns and many Catholics were killed, and they dumped their bodies into that same river. This is appalling. And to think that the Olympic Committee knew nothing about this, and now they're backtracking and saying it's about love and inclusion. And in the Bible, and Catholics believe that sodomy is sinful. It's all of this stuff.
You're not buying it.
No, I'm not. It's satanic. And many Catholics are taken to the streets, many in Spain, too, over 70,000. Many bishops and Catholics are speaking out against this. And then, I don't know, well, you said you didn't watch it. They had a mechanical horse with a silver rider, too, very apocalyptic. What is this baloney about? They're showing that the elites are in bed with Satan, and they're trying to push their one world order?
You've got me. I don't know. I didn't watch. I'm kind of glad that I did not watch it.
Listening
to what you're saying right there. I don't know that I would have understood. I don't get the idea. The beheading kind of stuff. I don't know. Sounds pretty
gory.
Well,
you have to see it for yourself, Brian.
No, I don't. You know what? Why do I want to?
No, I'm just saying that this is an abomination, blasphemous, sacrilegious, and it's an open attack on Catholicism. But yet, let me one final thing.
You know what? And we're talking about France, which is a heavily Catholic nation.
Right.
And you're trying to tell me that they were doing... I'm not saying that you're wrong. It seems odd that they would be out doing blasphemy.
The ruling elite over there is so far left. They're very occultic. This is an open attack on the church.
But aren't they Catholic?
Catholic Excuse me, Emmanuel Macron says he's a Catholic.
All right, well...
But yet he hasn't said a word. He hasn't condemned it.
Maybe... I don't know if he has or hasn't. I'll take you at face value on it.
Well, it was... I guess what I'm
trying to get at is... Why will we blame? I would blame the Olympic officials from France if there's blame to be thrown down. I wouldn't look at the government of France.
And then shortly thereafter, there was a blackout in Paris. The only light that was lit was a over 100-year-old basilica that you can see. You can see for thousands of feet, you can see the basilica illuminated, and the rest of Paris went in darkness.
You are really upset about this, aren't you?
I am very upset about it. It's it's did an it keep attack you from, on our Catholic faith. Did, I am really upset about
you,
it.
Did it keep you from watching the games?
I'm not going to watch any of the games.
Really?
From now on, I'm not going to watch any of the games, no. Very, very appalling. And let me just say one final thing. A Brazilian surfer was competing into, was going to be competing in the Olympics. And he had an image of Jesus. In Brazil, there's a big statue, Christ the King, and he has
yes.
it on his surfboard. And they told him that he could not have that, that he would be fined every day that he would do it. But yet, they let a Muslim woman run track and field with a headdress. I don't know if they call it the hijab or something along that effect.
Huh. I would think that the hijab would be a little bit different than a surfboard, but you really got me because I didn't know the Olympics had surfing in the first place. And I think of Paris, it's not like it's on the ocean, so where would they even go to surf?
The French Caribbean. One of the islands in the French Caribbean. It's not going to be in Paris. It's going to be...
In the Caribbean or the Mediterranean?
Is Fiji part of the French...
French Polynesia, Caribbean? Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I believe that's where it's going to be held. Yeah, he
really?
Was told straight out. Yeah, he was told straight out, you can't have that. You can't have Jesus on your surfboard.
Okay, all right. Thank you. I appreciate
it. All right, Brian.
You always learn something new when you sit in this chair. I did not know this about the Olympic Games. Maybe you saw it. I am going to fall down on the sword heavy and say I'm glad I didn't see it. I mean, I don't want to see Marie Antoinette hanging without a head and that kind of, maybe you do. I don't know. But it really disturbed that guy. How about you? Did you see it? Are you bothered by it? You know, nobody brought it to my attention Saturday morning. The opening ceremony happened sometime Friday. 508-996-0500. 18-year terms for Supreme Court justices. That is a proposal from President Biden. Now, if I understand correctly, and if somebody knows better, let me know. But it would seem to me that Supreme Court justices having lifetime tenure, that would be something that would have to be corrected in the Constitution. I'm not sure that President Biden can just make that type of proposal without getting the states or enough of the states and or Congress to go along, not and or plus Congress to go along with it. Are you in bed, pardon the expression, with 18-year terms for Supreme Court justices? It is a proposal from the president. He also wants no immunity for anyone who previously served as president of the United States.
Mike.
No, I'm the real McCoy. I'm Brian in for Tim today. Next half hour, in fact, Phil Devitt is getting ready in studio 6 7/8. He's got an update coming up in about 5 minutes. After his update, Deb McCarthy, the vice president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association, is going to join us and tell us why she believes that the MCAS high school requirement should be dropped and why you should vote for it during the November election. The other side, the folks that don't want to see it dropped, they have already tossed in $250,000 to promote keeping it around. 508-996-0500. You know, we're talking about 18-year terms for Supreme Court justices. The Democrats, not surprisingly, the Democrats are out saying, you know, Donald Trump might be too old to be president. And here's their juxtaposition. Joe Biden was roughly the same age as Donald Trump is right now when Biden won back in 2020. And look what we have seen over the past couple of years with Joe Biden. Well, here's something that you may not know. During his term as president, Donald Trump was examined by 37 mental health experts, psychiatrists, psychologists, analysts. And they stated that he was not fit to be president. There is actually a book out about this. And I find it interesting that it's not getting too much play. Dr. Bandy Lee is the author of the book. I don't remember its title. I am searching. I see if I can get her to come on to the program to talk about it. And basically, she can explain how even during the debate that took place roughly a month ago, she was talking about the performance, and I did not know who she was talking about at the time. But I was listening to her talk about the debate, and to me, she was describing to a T the performance of President Biden. But then she later stated she was talking about Donald Trump, and I thought, whoa! Now, that's a blowback. What I found very interesting, and I thought the same thing. Many people are wondering, well, how could you, Dr. Lee, and 36 other mental health experts, how could you examine the president without actually sitting down in a room and examining him? Here's the response. Dr. Lee stated, you don't have to be in the same room to do an examination. And she articulated the fact that, you know, many times psychiatrists, mental health experts are called to the witness stand in a case and they can look over video and tell you about the mental acuity of the other person, the person that they're supposed to be witnessing, and make a diagnosis that way. You don't have to be right there. That kind of blew me away. But she's correct. How many times have we somehow seen a courtroom scene, maybe you were in a courtroom, where the psychoanalyst was not or did not have physical face-to-face with the person they're examining? So, I don't know. I have my doubts, and I'm sure you do too, and I would agree with the person that is thinking the Democrats will do whatever they can to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't get back into the White House. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I don't want Donald Trump in the White House too, but I think I can play it fair enough to say I can understand where you're coming from. But somehow, some way, we have to give benefit of the doubt to these experts. Most of the time, they're correct in the courtroom, and they haven't sat down and done a one-on-one with the subject. So isn't it possible that they could be right now? Deb McCarthy is going to join us after we hear from Phil. Phil is over there in Studio 6 and 7/8. Good morning to you.
A Biden cabinet member says Trump's age is now the problem. Measles cases on a sharp rise in the United States. And a good weekend to be Deadpool and Wolverine.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says voters are concerned over President Trump's age and well-being, as he's now facing a much younger opponent in the November election. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, Buttigieg argued that Americans are worried about Trump's mental acuity at age 78.
And how could anybody not watch the stuff he's saying, the rambling on the trail, and not be just a little bit concerned?
He said Trump is older and stranger than he was when he began his political career. He also accused Trump of rambling at recent rallies.
I'm pretty sure voters are worried about the age and acuity of President Trump compared to Kamala Harris, who represents being a generation younger.
Buttigieg is considered a potential running mate for Kamala Harris. Donald Trump says people won't have to vote anymore if he's elected again. Tammy Trujillo with the story.
The former president took the stage in Florida this week to speak at the Believer Summit, where the majority of attendees were Christian. Trump told the crowd to get out and vote just this time, then said, "You won't have to do it anymore. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians." At the end of his speech, he added, "In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote." He implored the crowd to get to the polls so he could win the election in a landslide that's too big to rig, referring to his false claims that the 2020 election was fixed. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The second man injured during the attempted assassination against Trump earlier this month has been released from the hospital. James Copenhaver was discharged last Friday, according to The Hill. The other spectator who was injured was also released last week. The extent of either injury is unknown. Attorneys for former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows are asking the Supreme Court to move his Georgia election racketeering case to federal court. In a petition, Meadows' lawyers argue the case in Georgia has, quote, framed the case as about federal meddling in matters of state authority. The petition comes months after a three-judge panel, 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, denied his request. Federal health officials say the number of measles cases in the U.S. this year already tripled the total for 2023. Lisa Carton has details.
According to the CDC, nearly 190 measles cases have been reported in 26 states as of July. No deaths were reported, but the U.S. has seen more than a dozen outbreaks of the highly contagious disease this year. Experts point to a combination of factors, including fewer people being vaccinated and a rise in measles cases worldwide. I'm Lisa Carton.
And Deadpool and Wolverine smashing box office records. The R-rated Marvel Studios film bringing in an estimated $205 million in its opening weekend. That's the biggest R-rated opening of all time and the eighth biggest opening in Hollywood history. Disaster sequel Twisters took second with an expected $35.3 million haul. Despicable Me 4, Inside Out 2, and the horror film Longlegs round out the top five at the weekend box office.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Yankees at a rainy Fenway last night, 8-2. Mariners are next on deck. Boston welcomes Seattle tonight at 7:10. And the U.S. came away with several medals during heated competition at the Paris Olympics on Sunday. Tori Husk and Gretchen Walsh finished first and second to win the gold and silver in the women's 100-meter butterfly. Husk says her emotions are all over the place.
I feel a lot of emotions, though. I feel like there's so much to process right now.
Elsewhere, Haley Batten took home silver in women's cross-country mountain biking. The U.S. women's soccer team blew out Germany 4-1. And today, Team USA takes on China in women's volleyball. The U.S. men going for gold in the gymnastics team final. And USA women's basketball battling Japan in their Olympic opener.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
The rain that rolled in Sunday night tapers today with a few lingering light showers possible. Cloudy, a high of 74 degrees and a low of 68 today. A little more settled on Tuesday, a high of 83. Cloudy still, but the chance of some sun. Humidity making things feel muggy out there. We're looking at more sun and a boost in heat later on in the week. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
You're listening to The Tim Meisberg Show.
Call 508-996-0500.
We continue with the Tim Weisberg Show. Brian sitting in today. The campaign season is definitely heating up, and it's not just the run for the White House. We have races, certainly for state rep and state senate, our congresspeople, one U.S. senator. We also have ballot questions that are going to appear, and the big ballot question, unless there's one that I somehow missed, is going to deal with MCAS being a graduation requirement. Now, those that have listened to me for who knows how many years, since 2009, you know how I feel about MCAS, and I would just wipe it off the map. It wouldn't be around. Not that standardized tests aren't good, but I do believe that each and every school system can set up their own type of testing system for their students. That's my opinion. Certainly when it comes to dropping MCAS as a graduation requirement, I'm in that particular camp. And as I said earlier, sometimes politics makes strange bedfellows. This libertarian and the Massachusetts Teachers Association, most of the time we're not on the same page. In this particular case, we are. And joining us is the vice president of the MTA, Deb McCarthy. Deb, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you. So, Deb, it's my understanding, besides being vice president, you were a teacher for roughly 25 years.
That's true. A fifth grade educator for 25 years in the town of Powell, who purposefully left the classroom, a place that I belong and a place that I absolutely loved, to take on the high stakes of a testing curriculum that has removed the joy, the agency, and autonomy for our students in the classroom.
Since you brought it up like that, do you believe that many teachers, and look, if you're in the union, you would know, many teachers are leaving the school system because of the high stakes testing?
That's the truth. And I also wholeheartedly believe that one of the reasons we see such a crisis in attendance with our students is that they are basically voting with their feet, that they are not connected to the learning that has taken place. And I think that not only educators leaving, educators becoming on the ground activists fighting for this. We have students who are basically voting with their feet and not showing up in our schools because they've disconnected from a testing center curriculum.
But they are getting educated. They're just going somewhere else.
Well, I think what's really important about this question that folks like seldom talk about, you don't have to have this graduation requirement if you can afford to go to a private school. One of my strongest talking points, we have the number one private high school in the country in Andover. And after 4 years' time, parents will pay $250,000 in room and board, $250,000 to send their kids to a high school. And the MCAS is not a requirement. So clearly, it is not an accurate measure of success and a skill set that's important to do well in this world.
Deb McCarthy, you taught for 25 years. My math would tell me, and you've been out of teaching for 2 years. So when you were a student, you've got that Boston accent. So I'm going to guess you grew up around here. MCAS wasn't a requirement, maybe not even in play, when you were a student.
It was not, but I am the parent of four educators, and my son was in the class, of four students, in the first class to take the MCAS. So I have direct experience as a parent.
What happens, since you've got that direct experience, and so do I and many others, what happened in your family as MCAS was rolling around, especially that 10th grade MCAS?
Well, so my student, my own children, are good test takers. But when they went out to the real world and they're on the job site, the skills being assessed on the test are irrelevant. You know, nobody says to them, oh, I need for you to take this multiple choice question. And that's a big key for the fight. For us as educators, is we need to focus on these 21st century skills, like public speaking, like the ability to do research, like the ability to collaborate, to have great time management skills, to think outside of the box. And these aren't the skills being measured on a multiple choice test.
So you brought up something that I think is very important here. I was reading, I think it was in the Boston Globe, that business leaders are throwing in somewhere in the range of $250,000 as part of an advertising campaign urging people to go out and vote to keep MCAS as a graduation requirement. I would think that the business leaders would be against, what am I missing here?
Well, actually, your question is so timely, as about a half hour ago, I was doing some research on the monies behind this. Let's make it really clear. The high stakes testing is a $1 billion industry. We just allocated $170 million for a 5-year contract. Some of these venture capitalists,
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
You said we, but I don't know who the we is that invested that money.
Department of Education.
Okay.
The Department of Education had a contract, right? And so there is money to be made. And so for certain businesses, like these programs and softwares that are designed specifically for a testing-centric curricula, there's money to be made in this. So it is the business venture capitalists that profits from this, but it is not the public school student or the public school educator who profits from the money of this and it's very profitable business.
I would think so. It's been going for, 25 years, 26 years?
Yeah.
Deb McCarthy is our guest. She is the vice president of the MTA, not the transit, the Mass Teachers Association. Now, Maura Healey, Governor Healey, she speaks to the MTA and the AFT often. She backs keeping MCAS. I think there are many mayors and heads or ex officios of school committees that are backing keeping the MCAS as a graduation requirement. What would you like to say to them?
Well, I think shortly you'll start to see the list of coalitions and endorsers of Yes on Two. And I believe that the conversation with the governor is about the importance of metrics in place. And I would also strongly suggest that in the next month that you are going to see a strong coalition that represents the 179,000 signatures that we collected in the fall and the incredible signature gathering that just happened this past spring, where we were averaging 1,000 signatures a day. And we even saw an organic group of parents on the ground who collected more than 10,000 signatures on their own in coalition with us on this. So I think that the more our elected spokespeople hear from their constituents, the more they may look at this question differently.
Well, I hope you're correct. 250,000 isn't a lot of money, but my guess is it's the opening salvo. How are you going to counter the money part? Because a lot of people think you need money to fight money. I don't agree that money doesn't necessarily buy votes.
So that's a great question. This summer, we have over 150 organizers for the last 2 weeks who have been out canvassing, phone banking, having conversations. Again, as I just mentioned, we have groups of parent volunteers who are intimately connected to this campaign because it is their student who has been denied the opportunity to thrive because an MCAS-centered curriculum does not allow all learners to thrive. It does allow and lift up some, but it does not allow all of our learners the benefit of a high school diploma that they have so rightfully earned. And I want to make it really clear that the MCAS isn't going anywhere, that we have the highest standards. The gold standards is what many refer to them. We have standards-based report cards. And the problem with a test-centric curriculum is it denies us the opportunity to teach to all of the standards and to only teach to the standards that appear on the MCAS.
I would agree with you. I you know, as a kid who graduated in the 1970s, I find that there are a whole bunch of different tests out there that school systems can go out and deploy if you want to go to college. The admissions departments of these colleges, they know all the different tests if they want to use whatever metrics that they use to calculate who should be in and who should be out. If you're going into business straight away, I don't see why a business would give a hoot. I mean, they care that you got a high school diploma, but they could give a rat's you know what if you passed something called MCAS.
Well, that's my real-world experience. And in the classroom, I can tell you that sometimes for example, and I taught fifth grade, I told you this for 25 years, my strongest math student in the classroom wouldn't necessarily get the highest MCAS score because what the MCAS asks the student to do is to write about how they got their answer. And these naturally strong math students could manipulate it, could construct it, could see it, and could even verbally articulate it. But they may not have had the strongest writing skills. I would see this. A real good example is, you know, we have the standard of you have to write about the difference between weather and climate. And, you know, it would be an open response science question that the kids would have to write 3 to 4 paragraphs on. Whereas when I would give a performance assessment where I would ask them to be a meteorologist and give me the forecast for the week, these students would excel. And they truly understood and were able to teach to the other students in the class the difference between weather and climate, but they didn't necessarily write about it to score an advanced on a test.
Wow. Deb, we've got to wrap this up. What do you want us to know before we go out to vote on November 5th? Most people, as you very well know, are concentrating on the top of the ticket by the time we get down to the ballot questions. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing out there. Not only this ballot question, but ballot questions in general.
So my strong sentiment would be the following. Listen to our students. Listen to our students. They are letting you know that this is not okay. Listen to your educators. We are telling our truths. It has taken a long time because many are afraid to speak up. But listen and listen to the parents. This is a really important moment where we're going to still have the high standards, but we can remove the high stakes. And if you need any more information, please feel free to reach out to us at the MTA, and you'll be seeing us in the streets, knocking on doors. You'll hear us calling, and we'll be in your community and fairs and social events. So thank you for this opportunity.
No problem. Please, no kissing babies, though.
Aren't you funny?
Well, I try. Thanks. I appreciate it. Deb McCarthy is the vice president of the Massachusetts Teachers Association. I think she makes some valid points. Of course, I'm for getting rid of MCAS in general, but I think she makes valid points for why folks should go out on November 5th, and after you check off whether you're voting for Harris or Oliver or Trump, and then you make your way down the ticket, don't forget the ballot questions. Question number two, are you for MCAS being a graduation requirement, or you want to stop it from being a graduation requirement? I'm not going to whisper this at all. Thank you again, Deb McCarthy from the Mass Teachers Association, for joining us on the show today. I have been following your tax dollars, something that I hate to say that I enjoy doing it, but I kind of do. 30 million of your tax dollars will be used to prop up Stewart hospitals to make sure that they can operate during this whole sales process that they're going through. Now imagine that. A company has filed for bankruptcy protection, and the state is going to jump in with 30 mil. Now, you know, and I know, that the state just does not have money in their back pocket. Where does the state get money from? You know, and I know. Your tax dollars. Are you okay with this? Company files for bankruptcy protection, so they're going to get that. And then the state is chipping in 30 million of your dollars to prop up Stewart hospitals. If you ever thought that we had a private health system in this state, you are sorely mistaken. Now, you're paying privately out of pocket, and then you're paying publicly with.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.